how to keep the devil far from you. Okay? Resisting the devil. Glory to God. Okay, glory to God. Matthew chapter number 28 from verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." He says, go make disciples. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. He says, and lo, I am with you always. He says, even to the end of the age. He says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So when Jesus said, go make disciples, when he said, go make disciples, it will be, we said this during our last teaching, that it will be Matthew's summary, right? We said it will be Matthew's summary of what Jesus instructed them to do within the 40 days. Meaning, within the 40 days, it will be Matthew's summary of what Jesus asked them to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And within the 40 days, know what the 40 days means. The 40 days after the resurrection. Hallelujah. And in that instruction, he tells them how discipleship will be done. He says, teaching them. Hallelujah. He says, teaching them. So, Matthew's summary, as it were, will deal with what will be done in discipleship. Do you understand me? What will be done in discipleship, at the point of discipleship. That will be Matthew's summary of what Jesus told them to do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, John is a bit more explanatory. Let's look at John. Look at what John said. Of the same instruction Jesus asked them to do. Look at what John said in John chapter 20. John 20. John 20. Verses 21. And Jesus came and said again to them, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, so send I you." Hallelujah. You see, what is similar? Go therefore, right? Hallelujah. There's a going. Hallelujah. See, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And he said, and as when he said this, he breathed in breath on them and said to them, "Receive here the Holy Ghost." Now that, we've done this study before. When he said he breathed on them, will mean he taught them. Hallelujah. They receive the Holy Ghost. Verse 23, he said, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain, now that word sins there is italicized. If you retain, they are retained. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, that this will become John's own summary of what Jesus has them to do. He said to go. He said, whosoever sins, I love the way the old King James, whosoever sins, ye forgive, are forgiven. So whosoever ye retain, are retained. Hallelujah. So that shows he's not talking about the fact that the believer now have, you know, like we used to do years back, where they say, your sins, I retain your sins. No. You understand me? That how far to forgive and how far to retain. No. No, that's not what Jesus is talking about. Because, you know, remember we said contextual study of scripture is important. Hallelujah. So don't expect that you sing that he has spoken about the Allos Parakletos before now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He made you see, first of all, from John 6. From John 6, that he is the bread of life. Hallelujah. He is the bread of life. Made you see that the words I speak to you are spirit and alive. Then he goes down to talks about the Allos Parakletos, which is the Father and the Son dwelling in man. Are you following me? So now he's now telling you, okay, based on what has happened now, he says, go, whosoever sins you forgive, are forgiven. So what is he talking about? Hallelujah. Because he has made you see the fact that there is an allos paracletos. Therefore, he is making you know that this work is not your work. It's the work of the allos paracletos. Do you understand? It's the work of the Holy Ghost. So he said, whosoever says, yea, remit, are remitted. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Whosoever says, yea, forgive, are forgiven. Whosoever, yea, retain, as you say, he tells you he's talking about the new birth. Hallelujah. So Jesus is saying to go about retaining people's sin. Retaining people's sin. Your sin, God will judge it on the day of judgment. They don't know this useless talk. Hallelujah. So we don't have such, that is not what he's talking about. He's talking about the gospel. Hallelujah. So when the message is preached and a man believes, what happened? We'll get to see that shortly. Hallelujah. The man receives forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. So when the man rejects the gospel, that's automatically what the wrath of God. Hallelujah. For a man to be without Christ. Hallelujah. We said that to one of our teachers last day. Hallelujah. For a man to be without Christ. When we spoke about eternity. Hallelujah. To be without Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's look at Mark's summary. Mark's summary of the same thing. So from Matthew and from John, we've seen that there is a going, right? Right? And the task is what? Raise disciples, right? So Matthew shows us that, hey, go raise disciples. And Matthew actually dwells more on his summary was more on what would happen in discipleship. Hallelujah. John tells us, okay, this is what has happened to that man. His sins have forgiven. Are you following that? Now let's look at Mark. Mark 16. Mark 16. Verse 15. And he said to them, go into the world. The same going, right? So we see that it's in Matthew, is in John, is in Mark. Hallelujah. He said to them, go therefore, go into the world. There's the going into the world. Hallelujah. There's the going into the world. All nations go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Say, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. Does this also, is it related to John's summary? Yes. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. His sins are forgiven. Are you following that? Hallelujah. Now the condemnation will be what? His sins are not forgiven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Mark's summary brings out something for us. Glory to God. You know, as we study, we get to see some other things. Hallelujah. That would actually, remember I said, we also have to look at the leading of the Spirit again in December. Hallelujah. So there are some things along a certain line we're going to look at it from. Hallelujah. Before our believers' convention. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay. So, Mark's summary is the same instruction we've seen that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Mark will dwell more on how disciples will be, permit my word, how disciples will be gotten. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How disciples will be gotten. And he said this by preaching. He said, go make disciples. He said, go into the world and preach. Do you understand me? So, he tells you how that will be done. He said, by preaching. Glory to God. Hallelujah. By preaching. He said, now, what is important here is the fact that it's the same message. You know that there's a different message for teaching the disciples and a different message for getting to the unsaved. No, do you understand? No, it's the same message that saves, that also brings about spiritual growth. It's the same message. So it's the same message that you will minister to one to get saved. The same message you see after minister to the one who is saved for spiritual growth. So it's one and the same message. Glory to God. So when he uses the word go preach, go to the word and preach. That word preach is the Greek word keruso. Keruso. Keruso is a Greek word that implies to announce like a town crier. To announce like a town crier. To arouse. To make a public declaration. Did you see that? To make a public declaration. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it is used in Luke's account. In Luke 24. Let's look at Luke 24. Luke 24 will have a Luke's summary of what Jesus said. Ask them to do. Hallelujah. Luke 24 verse 47. Glory to God. 47. It says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. Did you see that? Preached to all nations. Say, beginning at Jerusalem. They are witnesses of this thing. Glory to God. To be preached to all nations. To announce. Hallelujah. So the word keruso is a verb. The word keruso is a verb. Hallelujah. To announce the verb. It is from the noun kerugma. It's from the noun kerugma, which deals with the message itself. Listen something. Kerugma deals with the message itself. It deals with the message itself. You find that in Matthew 12 verses 41. Matthew 12 41. Luke 11 52. Let's look at Romans 16 25 quickly. Romans 16 25. It says that to he who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. Hallelujah. Paul calls it according to my gospel. He said, he connected in explaining that the preaching of Christ. Remember, he has expected you to have seen that in what chapter 1 verses from verses 4. Hallelujah. He calls it the gospel of God. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. So he calls it the preaching of Christ. Glory to God. So Paul personalizes it and calls it the preaching of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 21. 1 Corinthians 1 21. Just the next book after Romans. He says, for since in the wisdom of God, the word true wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is the message? In read verses 18, you see that he's talking about the message of the cross. Hallelujah. The message of Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 2 verse 4. Say, my speech and my preaching were not the persuasive words of human wisdom, but the demonstration of the Holy Ghost and power, referring to what? The message. Hallelujah. Quickly, let's jump to chapter 15, verse 14. First Corinthians 15:14. See, get back here again, shortly. Say, and if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is empty. So he calls the preaching the resurrection of Christ. Hallelujah. You see that? He calls the message the resurrection of Christ. That is the kerygma of the scriptures. The resurrection of Christ. Hallelujah. the kingdom of the scriptures. Hallelujah. You also find it in 2 Timothy 4:17, Titus 1:3. So when you use the word keruso in Bible, in scriptures, when the word keruso is used in scriptures for the gospels, always know that they have, it also has the keruma, which is the message, hallelujah, as the content of what will be announced. Always know that when that word keruso is used for the gospel, hallelujah, it must always have its content. Because as we continue next week, in the introductory part, there's something I want to share with us, hallelujah, along a certain line. Glory to God. So what will be the content? The resurrection. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What will be the content? The resurrection. Christ resurrected. Glory to God. Paul was saying it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Hallelujah. So when there is no works, we'll look at that next week. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it's good to get this down. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the way one is saved is via the message. What is the message? The resurrection of Christ. But sir, the gospel I heard is that I received Jesus because I don't want to go to hellfire. I heard that Jesus will save me from going to hellfire. Have you really heard the message? Is that really truly the message? We'll get to know that next week. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We'll get to look at that next week also. Glory to God. So is there the message preached? What is the message? The resurrection of Christ. Not by any other means. Not by any other means. Glory to God. Glory to God. You see, I was dreaming. I'm born again from the womb. No, I'm born again from the womb. Have you not heard that? I'm born again from the womb. I have a Facebook friend. I said he has been a prophet from his mother's womb. My man was laughing. I know you now. The Lord called me a prophet of my own soul. I just said, where would they be quoting from? Jeremiah. No. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Say, for my mother's womb, I've been a prophet. And you know, you find that commonly with those people that call themselves prophets. I've been a prophet of my mother's womb. So when my mother carried me, did not call me a prophet. Good. So, you know, being born again is for those who were not known by the Lord. The Lord knew me. Therefore, my mother started seeing visions. Oh, you still have visions to hell. Hallelujah. No! Hallelujah. No! Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, you don't get saved by any other means. Any other means you're not saved. Glory to God. Someone said, faith in the gospel is what brings about salvation. Hallelujah. Faith in the gospel. I feel like doing the teaching. Understanding the gospel. I feel like I'm mentioning the mood of understanding the gospel. Hallelujah. Faith in the gospel is what brings about salvation. Just say the confession. Did you hear it? Just say the confession. You know, some people will rule to the answer. Hallelujah. Who do they answer? You see somebody smoking a book. You did not preach. Say, bro, you know the Lord loves you. He loves you so much. Just say this word. Who do they answer? Glory to God. That word is called confession. What is confession? Is the word homologia. Hallelujah. Homolog. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To say what in agreement. Agreement with what you believe. So you have to first of all believe in your heart. That is why Romans chapter 10 says when the heart man believes and when the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it is the heart first. So what you are confessing is what you've come to believe. Hallelujah. In the house of Cornelius, they didn't need to do any confession and they believed the Holy Ghost there. Do you understand? There was no altar call. Peter didn't say, would you now receive, do you now believe in Jesus? Or you say after me, ABC, accept I'm a sinner. I believe you died for me and I choose this day to be the Lord of my life. No! Glory to God. Why Peter was there talking? And they believed. That was a big, the Holy Ghost fair. Glory to God. And they were in tongues. Go and argue with our state governor. Glory to God. Glory to God. No mathematics here. Just believe. Just believe. Hallelujah. Believe in the resurrection. I say, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it's the message that is ministered that brings about salvation. The message ministered and faith in the message, in the gospel. The gospel is about what? The resurrection. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, let's look at that. Verses 1. It says, Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ. I'm in the mood of understanding the gospel. A bond servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Say, which he promised before through his prophet in the Holy Scripture. What was it? Say, concerning his son, Christ Jesus, our Lord. Who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared the Son of God. Hallelujah. Declared the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By the resurrection from the dead. Paul in 1 Corinthians will say, Christ has not risen. He said, our message is vain. That is the gospel. Glory to God. You can't take away the resurrection out of the gospel. If you don't believe in the resurrection, you don't believe in anything. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you don't believe in the resurrection, you are not saved. If you don't believe in the resurrection, you don't believe in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The resurrection authenticates the incarnation. Hallelujah. The resurrection authenticates his death. So the resurrection is the hallmark of our belief. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He rose from the dead. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go back. So, from that Romans 16, we said it's the resurrection, right? So the resurrection will be Christ's accomplishment. Christ's accomplishment. Luke 24, where we read, he said that repentance and remission of sins will be preached in his name. So that resurrection, Luke recorded it as what? Repentance, that is the remission of sins. That is what he calls the resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, when we begin to look at in the spirit of prayer, there are some things too we'll get to see. that we get to see, hallelujah, along this line. Glory to God. So because you now see that Jesus' mission on the earth, or the center point of Jesus' incarnation was man. Hallelujah. You get that? The reason why he came is for man. When John was to talk about, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the whole world." Hallelujah. Are you following me? So we can say the kerygma of Scripture is what? The resurrection, right? We can also say the kerygma of Scripture is the salvation of men. Hallelujah. The kerygma of Scripture is the salvation of men. That is the message of Scriptures, the salvation of men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Our Lord, the Bible said Abraham, and they sought for that city. Abraham sought for that city whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. The salvation of man. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The salvation of men. 2 Timothy chapter 3. From verse 15 into 16. Paul told Timothy, say, "I'm from childhood." Brethren, he says, "You have known the Holy Scripture," he said, "which are able to make thee wise unto salvation," he said, "through faith which is in Christ Jesus, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." So he tells you that the kerygma of Scriptures is what? Salvation of man. Are you following me? You have known the Holy Scriptures. That is to say, that is the word heroes grammar. Hallelujah. He says, that word grammar, it has to do with the content of the writings. He says, it is about what? Salvation of men. So the message of Scriptures from time being memorial, from time, it has been what? Salvation of man. Glory to God. Has been the salvation of man. Glory to God. Salvation of men. That word salvation is the word soteria. Soteria. And you know, you cannot talk about salvation, soteria, without talking about the Savior. The one who carries it out. Hallelujah. Who makes it happen. Hallelujah. You cannot talk about salvation without talking about the soter. The one who makes salvation happen. You understand me? The soul that is the Savior. And you cannot talk about the Savior without talking about what he has done. What he has done. What he has accomplished. That act of his that brought about salvation, which is sozo. Glory to God. So soul that Savior. Hallelujah. That word Savior in Greek etymology is a name or a title conferred on someone based on his or her accomplishment in a conquest. Is a name or a title or a name title actually a title conferred on one based on his or her accomplishment in a conquest. It's used for one who delivers or captures a territory or a land from battle. Do you know what I mean? One who captures a land, in a battle from his oppressors. Hallelujah. It's a title given to one who captures a land. More so when the people are under captive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, the act of when he claims the territory, it's called sozo, in that he saved the captive. Look at that ant. When he does that, it's called sozo, that he saved the captive. So when the word sota is used, there's an accomplishment. Are you following me? When the word sota is used, there's an accomplishment. There's a territory. Take note of that. There's an accomplishment. There's a territory. And there are those who have been rescued. So, let's take those three again. When you hear the word Savior, there is first of all what? A territory. Right? What is the second one I call?
Susan.
No. And then when you hear the word Savior, there is a what? There's an accomplishment.
A territory.
A rescue. And those who are rescued. Hallelujah. Another thing you'll find in with a sota, I heard this from Pastor Shego 2018 WCC. He said the sota will be found in the territory that he has captured. So the sota will live amongst the people he has saved. Do you understand me? So he doesn't rescue them and go somewhere. No, he rescues them and stays with them. Hallelujah. He rescues them and stays with them. So the Savior will be found amongst the people. He will not be found elsewhere, but rather amongst the people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the name Sota is conferred on Christ based on his accomplishment in the resurrection. Based on his accomplishment in the resurrection. Glory to God. Glory to God. I will follow it. That word Savior is used 24 times in the New Testament Greek for Jesus Christ. Okay. In Luke 1 verse 47, Mary used it. Luke 2:11. The use of Christ by the angels to the shepherd, in that he will save men. Luke 2:11. Look at John chapter 4. This is very, very intriguing. Like all the intriguing, I'm very interested. John 4:42. The woman at the well. 42 now. I'm not missing. Yeah, John 4. Now after Jesus was told the woman, she ran into the city and called everyone. The first one is over to look at this. And many believe because of his own words. Then they said to the woman, now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him and we know that this indeed is Christ, the Savior of the world. You see that? After they heard the message, hallelujah, they heard him teach, they said, this is the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. They find it also in Acts 5:51. Acts 13:23. Ephesians 5:23. Philippians 3:20. Say, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conferred to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Okay. This is for him. You find it also in 1 Timothy 1:11, 2, 3, 4, 10. This is 4:14. 1 Timothy 1:11, 2, 3, 4, 10. 2 Timothy 1:10. Titus 1:3, Titus 1:4, Titus 2:10, Titus 2:13, Titus 3:4, 3:6. Then Peter used it four times in 2 Peter 1:11, 2:20, 3:2, 3:18, and 1 John 4:4. Hallelujah. So, there is no doubt Jesus is called the Savior of the world, or is called the Savior because of his accomplishment in the resurrection. The resurrection is the greatest miracle ever seen in mankind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, what is the resurrection? We said it last week. The resurrection implies the indwelling of the Spirit. Did you get that? The resurrection is the indwelling, the Father in man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The resurrection is the indwelling. In the Greek word, resurrection is the Greek word anastasis. It means to rise. Hallelujah. To wake. Hallelujah. To stand. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To appear strong. Is the word. To appear strong. Glory to God. So where did Jesus appear? In us. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. That is the resurrection. I will come to you. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, you in me, and I in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandment. He said, and the Father will love you. Right? And will come and make our abode in you. That is the resurrection. Do you get that? Glory to God. That is the resurrection. So the resurrection is the believer's everyday reality. Do you get that? It is the believer's everyday reality. Paul uses the word resurrection in its present tense continuous. He never used it in the past. So the resurrection is not past. No. No. It's a heresy to say the resurrection is past. Are you hearing me? Eh? The Bible warned us against those who said the resurrection is past. Hope you know that. Right? We are warned against those who say the resurrection is past. The resurrection is not past. It's the believer's everyday reality. It's not past. The resurrection is not Easter. No! No! The resurrection is not one day after Good Friday, Good Saturday, then resurrection day. There's no resurrection day in the calendar. Are you hearing me? There's no resurrection day in the calendar. The disciples in the book of Acts never had any day they celebrated as resurrection day. They didn't. Glory to God. Someone asked me and said, but there's Easter in the Bible. I said, where are you the Bible? Where? They know Easter. They were waiting for Paul. I mean, for Easter to bring out Peter. I said, no, that's not Easter. That's the Greek word Pascha. Passover. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Passover. Let me see, Passover, not Easter. And Passover has been before Christ. Are you hearing me? He ate the Passover with them. So how come they don't know Passover day? You see your doctrine? You see your theology? That's gone far. Are you following me? So it's not Easter. There is no day in the Gregorian calendar or any calendar in the world for the resurrection. There's no resurrection. There's no resurrection month or resurrection. You understand me? Hallelujah. There's no resurrection day in the calendar. There's no Good Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. No, don't deceive yourself. Hallelujah. Don't deceive yourself. There's no such thing. Hallelujah. Say there's no such thing.
There's no such thing.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Okay. So the resurrection is not past. So Paul uses it in the present tense continuous. That is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14. Quickly, let's look at that. 1 Corinthians 15, 14. Oof. He said, and if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. If Christ is not risen. Hallelujah. If Christ is not risen, it's the word egerio. Hallelujah. 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 Using the present tense continuous, and you know, to remain standing. Glory to God. It's a continuous. It's continuous. Oh, glory to God. To show that the believer lives in the reality of his resurrection. Did you get that? The believer lives in the reality of his resurrection. So that's why Paul uses it in the present tense continuous. If resurrection is past, then our faith is past. Then our belief is past. Our salvation is nothing. We are of all men miserable. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. Glory to God. We are of all men miserable. His resurrection is past. So we don't talk lightly of the resurrection. No. Because it is an everyday reality. Hallelujah. We live in Christ's resurrection. I follow you. Hallelujah. The resurrection is called God's day. It's called Christ's day. It's Jesus' day. Are you hearing me? The resurrection is Jesus' day. The resurrection is Jesus' day. Glory to God. John 14:20 say, in that day, which day? Resurrection. Did you get that? In that day. So, he talked about it because it was going to happen. It has happened and it is happening. Glory to God. The day has come. We are in that day. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. We are in this day. We are in this day. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So the resurrection is God's day. It is his hour. It is his hour. John chapter 2. Jesus at the wedding of Cana. He said, my hour has not yet come. We're talking about his hour. We're not referring to the hour for miracle. No. No. Remember I said they don't have wine. Their wine is finished. They are without wine, rather. Hallelujah. And he said, woman, what is it? What have I with you? He said, my hour has not yet come. It's not hour for miracle. Talking about the hour of his resurrection. Hallelujah. The hour of his resurrection. So the resurrection is Jesus' hour. Is God's hour. The resurrection is God's day. Is God's hour. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 4. We saw that it is God's Sabbath. Do you get that? The resurrection is what? God's Sabbath is God's rest. Who rests on the Sabbath day? Or who rests on God's Sabbath? Is it God that rests? No! Is man resting in the works of God? Hallelujah! Glory to God! So we find rest in God's work. Hallelujah! Are you following me? Hebrews chapter 4 verse 4. Hebrews 4. Let's rush down to Hebrews 4 quickly. Hebrews 4. Let's start from verse 3. He says, for those who have believed do enter that rest. Did you see that? They do enter that rest. What was he talking about? Is, you know, the writer of Hebrews is explaining Moses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's explaining Moses. Remember, Moses will write the Sabbath as God's Sabbath. Yes, before the law. He will write it as God's Sabbath. Genesis chapter 1. I mean Genesis chapter 2. Hallelujah. Moses will call it the seventh day. Let's look at Genesis 2. Put your hands in Hebrews. Genesis 2. Give me verse 7. Let's get to Genesis 2 quickly. Genesis 2. Verse 2. It says, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had done. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all the works which God had created and made. Do you see that? So it's the day for rest. In who? He said, man will rest in all that God has done. Hallelujah. So Moses writes the seventh day like that before the law. Did you get that? The writer said, you know that the seventh day is God's rest for man. Did you get that? That is salvation. Moses is writing salvation here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So because of hardness of their heart, what did he do? He then gives them a particular day, the seventh day in the week. And he tells them what? To do no work. Why would he tell them to do no work? Not to say this, not to prefigure the fact that in salvation we don't work to receive salvation. Hallelujah. Did you get that? We believe in what God has done. Hallelujah. In salvation, we believe in the resurrection. So that's what Moses prefigures for them as the seventh day, the Sabbath day. Glory to God. So now the writer of Hebrews brings that narrative into his writing. In chapter 4, he says, we're in verses 4. He says, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his work. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore, it remains that some must enter it, and do unto those whom he first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designated a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you hear my voice and do not harden your heart, disobedience, right? And do not harden your heart, which is if you are not disobedient, if you believe. But if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. They remain therefore in rest for the people of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased of all the work as God did for his. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the resurrection is God's Sabbath. Hallelujah. Remember we say it's God's day? It is our and is in Sabbath. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So as believers, our days are in his day. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Our hours are in his hour. Glory to God. Glory to God. Our years are in his day. Are you following me? Are you following me? Glory to God. We are in his day. I'm in his day. I'm in his day. I'm in his day. Glory to God. His glorious day. I'm in his glorious day. I'm in his glorious day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. So, we said the indwelling, the resurrection is that indwelling, right? And it is his day. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, let's see something. The writer of Hebrews, that's where we are, in Hebrews chapter 9, from verse 11. Let's see how he explains that day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hebrews 9, verse 11. You know, the author of Hebrews helps us see something. He writes about the ministry of Christ. Hallelujah. He writes, you know, what he writes about is about the ministry of Christ. And he writes it as Christ the Son and Christ the High Priest. Hallelujah. So we see that as his, we see it in his hypnosis from Hebrews. All through the writings of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13, we'll see Christ the Son, Christ the High Priest, the Son and the High Priest. Hallelujah. So right now about the priestly ministry of Christ in chapter 9, verse 11, it says, but Christ came as the High Priest of the good things to come, and with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. But if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of heifers sprinkling the unclean sacrifice for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead work to serve the living God. When he said through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot, remember he spoke about entering into the most, he said he entered into the most holy place. That is what the indwelling. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he spoke about it and wrote concerning the forgiveness of sin. Are you following me? So, the writer of Hebrews helps us see that indwelling, which is the resurrection, is the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Paul will also re-emphasize the same truth in Ephesians 1:7. He said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, he said, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. He said, we have forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. 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 So, in the new birth, in the redemption, we receive the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is not a different experience. Not you first of all receive the Holy Ghost, then after a while you now say, no. It's the same experience. Hallelujah. That indwelling. I heard it. That indwelling is the forgiveness of sins. Brother Shekou said something. He said, if the forgiveness of sins happens afterwards, if it happens a millisecond afterwards, he said then the whole thing we've heard about the gospel is fake. Hallelujah. If you believe and it takes a millisecond for the Holy Ghost to come in, then the gospel is not real. Hallelujah. Because the moment the man believes, he receives the Holy Ghost. That indwelling is forgiveness of sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The believer doesn't seek for pardon. No, pardon of sin. No, we have received the forgiveness of sin. Hallelujah. I have received the forgiveness of sin.
Forgiveness of sin.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus speaking about the same fact. Jesus speaking about the same fact. Hallelujah.
Are we talking about, what is the topic? Resisting the devil. We're getting there. We're getting closer.
Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. In Matthew 6, Jesus speaking about the redemption, the resurrection, said, verse 9. And it is this one I say, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, verse 11. Say, give us this day. Which day is that? Resurrection day, right? Resurrection day, right?
Yes.
Jesus' day, right?
Yes.
Jesus' hour, right?
Yes.
God's Sabbath, right?
Yes.
Give us this day the daily bread. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Give us this day the daily bread. Remember we said that word daily bread means eternal life. Hallelujah. The daily bread. Daily bread is not going to work. Hallelujah. I remember one time, I asked my mom, where's my dad? He said he has gone to look for daily bread. Hallelujah. That was when we're growing up. He said I'm going to look for daily bread. So when you become a man, you begin to look for a daily bread. So that's the one he's talking about. Yeah. Hallelujah. He's not talking about the work you do. He's not talking about sea trade yet. You guys going to pay me all this ministration. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's not talking about it yet. No, he's not. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 He's talking about the real daily bread. What it implies is give us tomorrow bread now. Give us the bread that lasts forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give us tomorrow's bread. The bread that stays. Today's bread. Give us tomorrow's bread today. Meaning the bread that stays forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he's talking about eternal life. And what did he explain the daily bread to be? What did he explain the eternal life to be? That is the next verse. He said, that is forgive our debts. That's what he's talking about. Hallelujah. So the eternal life, the daily bread is the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus says it also. In the resurrection, what man will receive is the forgiveness of sins. That was offenses, total blotting out, the cancellation of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So, the forgiveness of sin is not a pardon as I've said. Hallelujah. Is the word offenses, a total taking away. A total taking away. Let's see what Peter will say in Acts. Follow me, Acts of Apostles chapter 3. Amen. Verses 18 into 19. He said, but those things, this is Peter, said, those things which God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, hallelujah, that the Christ would suffer, he had thus fulfilled. Repent therefore, that is, be converted from your sins. I mean, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. that your sin may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Now, that word so that is the word actually windy. It's not like so that, not when you now receive the aphesis or when you are converted, then the times of refreshing will come. No, that's not what Peter is talking about. Peter says, repent and be converted. Hallelujah. That your sins may be blotted out. That's the word, blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. So when Peter talks about times of refreshing coming from the presence of the Lord, that word presence is the word postponed. To appear from somewhere. And where has he appeared from? He has appeared to our hearts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what Peter was referring to is the indwelling. In the indwelling, what the man will receive is the blotting out of sins. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So we've received the remission of sins. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So the believer doesn't have sin issue. Are you hearing me? The believer doesn't have sin issue at all. At all. That has been dealt, settled. Hallelujah. Dealt and settled. Glory to God. I don't know
what the problem is. I'm just a sinner.
He doesn't know his rights and privileges in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the new birth, have received the remission of sins. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's move ahead. In Matthew 16, we were talking about the resurrection. Matthew 16:19. Jesus asked the question concerning the resurrection. I mean concerning himself. And he links it up with the resurrection. He asked, who do men say that I am? And they gave him all manner of answers. And asked, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered saying, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17, Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, to my Father who is in heaven. My Father who is in heaven. Verse 18. And also I say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And when he talks about upon this rock, he's now referring to the truth about himself. Hallelujah. The truth about what he will accomplish. In the resurrection, the church is built. That's what he's talking about. Hallelujah. When he said the gates of hell shall not prevail, the place of the dead. Death will not hold it from happening. Hallelujah. Verse 19 now says, and I will give the keys of the kingdom. Meaning in the resurrection, what we will have, that's what he says. In the resurrection, what we will have is what? The keys of the kingdom of heaven. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever thing you bound on earth, whatever thing you bound on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever thing you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We'll look at this as we begin to discuss. We'll discuss the church and the local church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. He says, we receive what? The keys of the kingdom of heaven. Remember, I said during our last teaching that the indwelling implies what? The kingdom of heaven, right? Oh, glory to God. Who said that? Glory to God. So when he uses the word keys, that is the word, it sounds similar in the Greek. The same way. Hallelujah. Keys implies to have an access. To have an access. Yeah, he uses it to signify authority. Authority. Glory to God. Authority. Which we also see in Matthew 28. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. You know, Jesus is re-emphasizing what he has told them. And yeah, in the resurrection, man would have authority. Hallelujah. That is that access. is now in the revelation and said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Hallelujah. So the heaven and on earth will be what? In the believer. Hallelujah. So we have that access in the resurrection. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in the resurrection, we have authority. Which authority? The authority of Christ. You get that? We have the authority of Christ. I have the authority of Christ. Hallelujah. Paul spoke about his authority in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, quickly, 1 verse 17. He spoke about his authority. Oh, glory to God. Ephesians 1. 4 verse 17. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and this knowledge, revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eye of your understanding will be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Verse 20. Let's look at it. So which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him on his own right hand in the heavenlies. Now remember, we can't use the word heavenly places because we are beginning to know what the heavenly is. Right? Right? Hallelujah. Right? Okay. Glory to God. You can't say heavenly places. There are no places in the heavens. Glory to God. Okay? Say far above principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and has given him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Paul writes and tells all that the authority of Christ, because they say it's far above principalities and powers. Hallelujah. And in chapter 2, verses 5, he said we are seated together with him in the heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. So, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, glory to God. What this implies is that Christ's authority is the greatest authority there can be in the universe. That is the greatest authority there can be. Not that there is, there can ever be. That is the greatest authority in the universe. And he has given it to the believer. They are deposited in the believer. That is the indwelling. So, the authority of Christ we have received is not a different experience also. Did you get that? It's the same experience. So, that new birth is that authority we received. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. That's the greatest authority they can ever be. They can ever be. That is the greatest. That is the greatest. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Let us see one other thing that the resurrection has for us, or that will receive in the resurrection, or that has happened in the resurrection. Let's put it like that. That has happened in the resurrection. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2. Verse 9. You see. Oh, I'll start from verse 10. For it is fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he who sanctified and those who have been sanctified are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Hallelujah.
We are brethren.
Hallelujah. Saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I. Here am I and the children whom God has given me. Verse 14. In so much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, himself likewise shared in the same. He shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil. Hallelujah. So, in Christ's humanity, he died. Hallelujah. And in his death, glory to God, he destroyed the power of Satan. He destroyed the power of He destroyed he who has the power of death, that is the devil. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we can say in the resurrection, Satan is destroyed. That word destroyed is the word that implies to strip off. So in the resurrection, the devil is stripped off his authority. Do you see that? He's stripped off his authority. Colossians 2:15. It says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in him. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, in the resurrection, Satan is stripped of his authority. So the believer has the authority of Christ. And as such, the Satan or the devil has no authority over the believer. Are you hearing that? The devil has no authority over the believer. The devil only exercises authority on those in his kingdom. Are you hearing me? Ephesians 2:2. It says, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Do you see that? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Say, but verse 3. Say, but if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this age has blinded. Do you see that? Has blinded. So Satan is has his authority over those who do not believe, who are in his kingdom. And the Bible shows us in Colossians 1 verses 13, he says he has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and has transferred us to the kingdom of his dear son. Meaning in that new birth, we are no longer in the kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In that new birth, in that resurrection, we are in the kingdom of his son. We have received his authority. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? So that is why that indwelling is the kingdom of God. Are you hearing me? Jesus said the kingdom of God is with man. So the kingdom of God is not the skies. The kingdom of God is amongst men, even men. Hallelujah. So you don't go about looking for Jesus or looking for God in the spectacular. No, you find him in humanity. In the man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God will be seen in men. Men who are born again. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When you hear the word authority, authority is the Greek word exousia. Hallelujah. It implies the legal right to exercise power. a legal right to exercise power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when we say Satan has no authority over the believer, we mean Satan has no legal right over a believer's life. When I talk about a believer's life, I don't mean a believer's Christian life has no legal right over what concerns you. Do you get that? Satan has got no legal right over what concerns me, over what concerns you, what has your name on it. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Satan has no legal right.
Glory to God.
Yeah, some people say,
you can touch everything I do. Touch my jaw. Touch my investment. Touch my seat rate. But don't touch my life.
No. It has got no legal right. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. In as much as we know this, we know this truth, Paul also shows us something else. We know this truth that the believer has got authority over the devil, right? Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Then Paul shows us something very, very interesting. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. That's in 2 Corinthians. Look at verse 11. He speaks about the brother whom he has told them in 1 Corinthians. Who has told them in 1 Corinthians that they should have no company with. And he now writes and says in verse 11. He says, lest Satan should take advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. You see that? Hallelujah. You get that? Inasmuch as we have authority over the devil, Paul says we are not ignorant of his devices. That word devices is the word noema. Noema in the Greek. We are not ignorant of his schemings, of his gimmicks. We are not ignorant of his activities, his mode of operation. We are not ignorant of how he operates. I hear me. You're not ignorant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I'm not of how the devil operates. That is why also in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Quickly, let's go there. Paul will say, you give no place to the devil. Check out on me. You give no place to the devil. Ephesians 4, verse 27, quickly. Ephesians 4, verse 27. He says, be not angry and sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he speaks, therefore speaks about conduct. And then he says, I can give place to the devil via my conduct. And in Ezra says, he that steals, let him steal no more. Let him steal no more. Meaning, in my conduct, I can give place to the devil. So Paul says, give no place to the devil. He has no authority over you, yes, but yet give no place to him. We get to see most of that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, give no place to the devil. When he said place, that is the word to pause. Means occupancy. Give no room. Give no opportunity to the devil. Hallelujah. When they give no place to the devil, Pastor said, it implies give no foothold. It's used for how a boundary is marked. So he said, you don't give a foothold to the devil. You don't give an opportunity. You don't give a room. You don't give a chance. Give no chance. Give no foothold to the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What it implies is that as a child of God, I could give the devil an opportunity into my affairs. Remember, he was talking about conduct. I could give the devil an opportunity into my affairs. Are you hearing me? That's what Paul is saying. We could give the devil an opportunity into our affairs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You could. In 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. Peter admonishes and says, let's look at something. I say, be sober. Let's look at it. 1 Peter. Chapter 5 verse 8. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, says, seeking whom he may devour. You see that? This is the adversary. He says, be sober, be vigilant. When the Bible says be vigilant, it means be vigilant, be watchful. Hallelujah. He says, because we are the adversary. Who is the devil? Hallelujah. He says he's like, he roams about like a roaring lion, he says, seeking whom he may devour. So, what is Peter saying? He's saying the same thing that Paul has said, that Satan goes about seeking for opportunities. Are you hearing me? Seeking for opportunities. Seeking for opportunities. In fact, the Amplified Version puts it like this in Luke 4. I mean, when it talks about the temptation of Jesus, Luke 4 verse 13. Amplified Version put it that he left for another opportunity. After Jesus was done, you know, after that temptation, Bible says he left. The King James will say he left for a season. The Amplified will say he left for another opportunity. That's what Amplified will say, for another opportunity. Hallelujah. So it shows that Satan works with opportunities. Do you get that? He works with opportunities. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He works with opportunities. So, Peter says, be sober, be vigilant. Right? Paul says, give him no opportunities. Give him no opportunities. James will say, in James chapter 4, verse 17, James will say, resist the devil. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. In what? Resist the devil. He didn't say, you should say, Satan come off a road, I get Holy Ghost, I don't get Burrito, I go jab you. No. That's not what he's talking about. Hallelujah. He said, resist the devil. Hallelujah. A version will say, resist him steadfast in the faith. Hallelujah. So there is an instruction to resist the devil. Give him no foothold. Give him no opportunity. Be sober, be vigilant. When he says be sober, it means be serious minded. Don't lose your guard. Hallelujah. We'll get to see some of those things next week. Hallelujah. Don't lose your God. How as a believer one can lose his God? You can. So Paul said, Peter said, be serious minded. Be sober. Be serious minded. You don't joke with everything. You don't. He said, be vigilant. Satan works with opportunities. Remember, listen. Satan works with opportunities. Satan will be found where? In a man who doesn't believe. So when an information gets to a man who doesn't believe, the information gets to Satan. Hope you know that. Hallelujah. Satan walks with them. Remember we said last year that Satan will be found in the actions of man. Right? will be found in the actions of men. It will be found in the actions of men. Does that mean Satan is omnipresent? No. Satan works with demons. Hallelujah. Are you following that? Satan works with demons. Satan is not omnipresent. No. Hallelujah. So you mine informations. Some people are not vigilant. Some people are not sober. They're not sober. They're not serious minded. Every little thing, just let it out. No, don't give a foothold, as God said. Don't give a foothold. You get to see that next week too. Hallelujah. You get to see that. Don't give a foothold. How we can just be loosed. Just be loose. Just talk anyhow. Hallelujah. One thing, one of the attributes of a believer who is growing is his ability to be serious minded. Another thing is his ability to know when to let out information. Are you hearing me? Don't talk anyhow. Don't talk anyhow. No, you don't. It's a sign of spiritual growth. Just talk loosely and what's the other word? You just talk. Your mouth is typewriter. No. Hallelujah. Watch those set of people. They're never patient in following God. Yeah, never patient in following God. My little time in ministry, I've come to know. Are people who let things out, they are never patient to follow God. After all, you know you need patience to follow God. You need patience to follow God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why do you think Mary, there are several things Mary said, my wife said she hid it in her heart. Hallelujah. 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 Peter was with Jesus all through from the time of his baptism till when he was taken up. Yet, Matthew was with Jesus too. John was with Jesus too. Hallelujah. They saw the miracle signs and wonders. When they jump around and be shouting, oh boy, come see miracle gengen. You know, they didn't do that. You find out that those who he told do not say this, they were those that went ahead to say it because they were not in his company. But those who were in his company didn't even write. Epistles were written before they came, before the four gospels were written. Most of the epistles were already written. And now you hear from Luke, Luke will say, it's commonly believed amongst us. Do you get that? The epistles were already in circulation. Didn't have to write. They could have been doing news. Weekly publication on Jesus' miracles. When he was alive. Miracles. Come and see wonders. Come and see miracles. The walking of the sea experience. How to make fish deliver money. You know, miracles. No. They didn't do any such. They didn't do enough search. Hallelujah. They didn't do enough search. In fact, he forbid them of telling anybody until the resurrection. Because he needed them to write those experiences of the resurrection. The resurrection is the explanation of, that's why I said the resurrection authenticates Jesus' incarnation. He authenticates all the miracles that Jesus ever did in his incarnation. Are you ready? Hallelujah. So you don't just open your mouth loosely and widely and everywhere. No. Be sober. Be vigilant. Do you get that? Be sober. Be vigilant. Be serious minded. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know you can know part time who you gave an information out to. If you don't know who you gave an information out to at time, it means you are talking loosely. It means you are not serious minded. Are you hearing me? I'm talking to us pastors here today. If you cannot know part time who you gave this information to, part time. There's no information I can pass across to Pastor Wisdom that I cannot even tell Pastor Philip. Hope you know that. Yes. Part time. There's no information that I don't expect Pastor Philip to know. But if I want, he tells it to me, I will know who I told. You know that? You must know. He's serious minded. He's serious minded. This is not, let me use Pastor Shebu's words. This is not Satan don't fall for God, masham masham. It's not masham masham till you. It's serious. It's serious business. It's serious work. Hallelujah. It's not masham masham till. Amen. 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 So, in James 4:7, it says, resist the devil. We have an instruction again. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That word flee in the Greek means to run from terror. Hallelujah. To run from terror. Meaning, I could resist the devil. Are you following me? I can resist the devil. And whosoever thing that I can resist shows that it does not have more power than I do. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Whosoever thing I can resist and it will flee, it will run, shows that it doesn't really have much power than I do. Hallelujah. Things to note as we begin to round up. We didn't see from anywhere where scripture asked us to fight the devil. It's nowhere written in anywhere in scripture that we should fight the devil. Did you see anything there? No. We're not told to fight the devil. Rather, we are told that he has been defeated.
Glory to God.
Are you hearing me? He has been defeated. That's what we are told. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Father, we are told in scriptures he has been defeated, that we should resist him, give him no opportunity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what this shows is that we'll have the more authority over the devil. Or we'll have the more authority than the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Satan runs from the believer. Are you hearing me? Satan runs from the believer. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have the greater authority. We have the greater authority. We have the greater authority. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have the great authority. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I can keep the devil running all day long. All year long. I can keep the devil running. Hallelujah. I can keep him running. I can keep him running. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, we'll continue from next week. I will look into, hallelujah, what is our role, how we can resist him steadfast in the faith. Let's just thank him. Let's open our mouth and thank the Lord. Let's open our mouth and thank the Lord. Oh, let's worship him. Mm-hmm.